How about then another?
So the Wonder Tale. Right. Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what's a good example. Wonder Tales. Usually
about the rabbis. Perhaps you mentioned the.
Yeah, Wonder Tales usually deal with what's called the tzaddikim. The word means the righteous ones. It's the rabbis who are very, very powerful in their spiritual energy. There's one, for example, about the man named the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov, it means the master of the good name. He lived in the 1700s in Poland. His name, the Baal Shem Tov, comes from a magical assumption that people had that if you could master the power of God's names, you could operate almost like a sorcerer, but for the good, not for the bad. So he's called the master, the good name, as opposed, I guess, to evil magicians. He could be masters of the bad name. But he is the founder of the Hasidic movement. And there's a story that's told about him, how on the holiest day of the year, he went into synagogue and stopped at the door, and all the Jews are praying inside. The place is packed from wall to wall with Jews dressed in white with long prayer shawls and their skull caps on, and they're rocking back and forth feverishly, you know, in their prayers, and he wouldn't enter in. And he just stood at the door and stood there, and the people began to notice, and it distracted them from their prayers. Here it is, the most holy rabbi in the entire world, as far as they were concerned, refusing to join them in prayer. And finally he just walks away, and the people just continue their prayers, but it's more or less half-hearted. And when it's over, they come to him and say, "Rabbi, what happened? Why didn't you join us?" And he said, "When I came to the door, the room was filled with your prayers. Nothing had ascended to heaven. Everything was just in that room, and there was no room for me." So the next day they came in, and they're praying just as strongly. And he comes in this time, and he stands with them. And the day gets longer and longer, and the prayers should be coming to a close, but they don't come to a close. He keeps drawing them out and keeps drawing them out. And the people are getting tired, and it's just going on, and he won't stop. And finally, in the back of the room, there's a little boy who has got the foggiest idea of what's going on. He's too little to read Hebrew, doesn't understand the prayers at all. He's just sitting there, and he's very bored. And all of a sudden, he decides that he wants to do something too, that all these people are praying. He wants to pray, but he doesn't know how. He doesn't have any words. He reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out a whistle. And that's what he can play really well. He says, you know, in his mind, he thinks that I don't know how to pray like this, but I'm going to play a tune to God. So he pulls out his whistle, and he begins to play on the whistle. And all of a sudden, his father turns around and says, "Quiet, quiet, what are you doing?" And then the rabbi, the Baal Shem Tov, up front says, "Shh, don't silence him, let him play." And the boy finishes his tune, and then the rabbi brings his service to a close. And again, afterwards, they go up to him, "Why did you let him do that? That's so disrespectful." And he says, "Again, the room was filled with your prayers. They weren't going anywhere, but that whistle shattered the gates of heaven, and all your prayers, you know, went up there." It's that kind of story. Mm-hmm. Stories.
Your grandmother told that kind too, or not so much?
Not so much. Not so much. Those are men's tales. You know, the women weren't even in a service. I mean, you can really.
Right.
You know, those are men's stories. The wonder tales, really, in fact, almost always they involve men. There are a number of tales that involve women that were perhaps told, like Sleeping Beauty tales and that kind of thing, Jewish equivalents, that may have been told by women. Those I didn't learn from her. Those I learned from the sources.
Mm-hmm.
There are stories about, the wonder tales just go on and on. I mean, you know, I don't know how many examples you're interested in, but they are definitely of a male genre. You know, the medieval equivalent of Rambo or something like that. I mean, that's what they would be involved in. Those were for the men. The same thing with prayer. Everything. The women had their own prayer book. Everything was. The women were considered duller than the men. Is not as capable of dealing with these lofty issues and dealing with those mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Did she have any special bedtime stories or anything that she told you, or were these just?
No. I mean, you know, if you mean it literally bedtime,
right.
No, because that wasn't her time with me.
Right.
No, she really, it was like, I can see it in her apartment. Odd moments in an afternoon or whenever we would just be there. And she would tell the stories.
You learned what would have been a women's tradition of, of stories, basically, from your
Well, group? I hadn't thought of it that way. I guess I learned... Let's see. That's an interesting question. I don't know if I would be that... I don't know if I could affirm, you know, be really affirmative about that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I guess I learned from her... Yeah, I guess you could say that. The street tales, the ones that were more available that way. For example, I'll give you an example of one that you could learn in that context. About a rabbi, but a little not a wonder tale. The rabbi of her village was very famous, thought to have tremendous power, and everyone was sure that he really could commune with God directly. And he would always come late to services, and the people would always say, "Well, where does he go?" And the assumption was he always went to heaven, and he talked to God, and then he would come to services. That's why he was late. There was one guy in town who they call him a Litvak, which in American would be, he's from Missouri. He has to be shown. Mm-hmm. Well, a reminder, I've got another appointment coming. The Litvak, the guy mm-hmm. from Missouri, in a sense, didn't believe any of it. And he decided to find out exactly what the rabbi does and why he's late, because he didn't believe that the rabbi goes to heaven. And the story goes that he hid underneath the rabbi's bed late one afternoon. And he just waited there. And the rabbi came in, and he went through his evening ritual and finally went to sleep with the Litvak underneath his bed. The rabbi was totally oblivious to that. And to stay awake, to see what the rabbi really did, the Litvak took a Talmud volume with him, and he studied Talmud all night long. Early, early in the morning, the rabbi gets up and gets dressed, but not in his normal rabbi clothes, not in his normal clothing. He puts on the clothes of a hewer of wood. And he goes out with a huge axe and leaves the house. The Litvak quickly gets up and follows the rabbi out. The rabbi goes into the woods, and he starts chopping wood. And he chops till he has a huge bundle of wood, which he ties up with a rope, throws on his back, and goes back into the village. All the while, the Litvak is following around and following behind him. And he goes to this house at the edge of the town, where the poorest woman in town lives. And he bangs on the door. And she calls out, "Who is it?" And he says, "It's the woodcutter. I've got wood for your fire." And she says, "How can I afford to get wood for the fire? I have no money to give you." He says, "Don't worry. You can have the wood on credit." And she says, "What kind of credit? I'll never have any money." He says, "Don't worry. You can have the wood as a gift." He comes in, and over her objections, he fills up her fireplace with wood, starts a fire so the house becomes warm, and leaves the wood there so she has enough wood for several days. And then, he blesses her and he leaves. And he goes back home, he changes clothes, and then he goes to the synagogue. By the time he gets there, it's late. All the while, again, the Litvak is following behind him. Again, he's late. And again, after services, the people mill around. They go, "What outside? What happened to him? Why is he always late?" And someone said, I know, he's definitely gone to heaven to talk with God. And then the Litvak says to them, "No, he's gone even higher than that." And that's the end of that story. And that's a story that deals with rabbis, but that's more generic. It's not a man's story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's some examples, anyway, of the kind of stuff that I learned from her, but the kind of stuff that you pick up from sources. I mean, Jewish folktale is, though most of the ones I tell are Eastern European, because that's the background I come from, I have read and learned and told stories from Jews in India and various other countries. I mean, the Moroccan Jewish stories are, those stories are much more like Arabian Nights kinds of things. And they're much more, I don't know, I guess they're all considered fairy tales, but more of what I would consider a fairy tale. More like the ones that really follow Sleeping Beauty kind of format.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of love stories come out of the North African Jewish community, the Indian Jewish community. Lovers being turned into fish and lovers being turned into flowers and various quest stories of the prince has got to get the princess, the prince has got to go out and find the golden bird on the golden tree in the golden forest, somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, all that kind of stuff. But the ones that I really learned were Eastern European. That's mm-hmm. where they're all from.
And you said there was one about a rabbi and a white horse.
There's millions about the Baal Shem Tov and his horse.
So that was about the same.
Yeah, those
Baal
are the
Shem Tov.